Romans chapter 4. Father God, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are truly our King, our Lord. We obey you. And when we don't obey you, when we fail to obey you, when we go our own way, we thank you, Lord God, that you are not angry at us, nor are you surprised. For you know we are but dust as we were created. But we also know that you're a forgiving Father and a loving Father who gives us generously of your Holy Spirit, not only to forgive us, but also to help us, to assist us. Where we are weak, because of your Spirit, we are strong. Where we are ignorant, because of your Spirit, we know all that we need to know. You supply whatever we lack. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have equipped us for this world, but you have given us a gift for the world to come. And so what we're able to accomplish is good, but it's not good enough. And whatever you have given to us is the best, exactly what we need, so that we may walk without fear, and we may work without worry, knowing that our labor is not in vain, but that we are in your care and under your gracious hand. And so we praise you, Lord God, for the truth that sets us free. Speak to us then this day, personally, as a body for sure, but individually for certain, so that we may each be built up, strengthened, edified, and not be discouraged, not be downcast, not be confused, not be in any way surprised at what is happening, but to know that you have rigged everything for us. You have planned it that way in order to bless us, and we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God is good. All right, let's turn to chapter 4 of Romans, the fourth chapter of Romans. The reason it's called Romans is because Paul wrote to the church, to the people of God who were at Rome. And the Romans are a lawful people. They're a engineering type people. They're an intelligent people. They're a pragmatic people. The Romans are extremely practical, and they don't exclude God. They acknowledge that there is one, but for all practical purposes, they don't need him other than in the most superficial way. Because practical people basically are practical people. They just get along, do what they need to do. But the Romans were not foolish enough to say there was no God at all. They just simply, from a practical standpoint, didn't need him that often. But every once in a while, it was good to have him around. And so they kept him. So the Romans were not like the Greeks, who had a big philosophy and a big theology all about how it was upstairs in the heavens and so on. The Romans were more this-worldly than they were otherworldly. The Greeks, on the other hand, were extremely speculative. They liked to think about, you know, Aphrodite and Zeus and all the gods that were upstairs that never came downstairs, and we never went upstairs. So you didn't really know that much about them, but you had a brain. And your brain would know, it would speculate, it would figure out, well, there must be a God. Somebody started all this business. You know, maybe I'm doing it, maybe God's doing it, maybe I'm a secondary cause and he's the primary cause. So the Greeks were always thinking. But the Romans were always doing. So we need both. We are thinkers and we are doers, but we need something even more importantly. And that's something that the Jewish people provided, which is there is a God and we know his name. And we know all about him. And through Jesus Christ, whom they killed erroneously, Jesus was that Son of God, revealed himself to all mankind. So the Greeks, the Romans, the Jews, we need them all. We have all of that in us. You have a brain side of you. You have a doing side of you. You have also a faith side of you. You have a spiritual side. So you have spirit, soul, body. You have all those three inside of you, just like God is three, so you are three. Now, did you follow all that? God then wrote this one to the practical people, And Paul writes this to the church at Rome. What shall we say then that Abraham, that's the Jewish side, that's the spiritual side. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? What is it that Abraham, the Jewish ancestor, what is it that our ancestor Abraham discovered? What did he find out? What did he know? So Abraham is called the father of faith. Okay? He's the father of faith. He is not the father of works. Jewish people are not good workers. Okay? They're not holy. Now, they were supposed to be, but they messed up. They blew it. Kind of similar to us. You know, we could be better, but we aren't. Could I hear an amen? You know, we could be better, but we're just not. You know, we intended, I mean, actually was going to do good today, but we blew it. And so Abraham's a good father because he's the father of faith rather than father of works. Moses, on the other hand, taught us how to, you know, keep the law, do the law. So I've illustrated up here that there's always two ways to go. One way is to do everything right, and the other way is to do everything wrong and then apply to God for mercy. So the second way is better for me because I always make a mistake. I always make mistakes. No matter how hard I would try to do this, I just can't pull it off. So Abraham is not the father of works. You know, he wouldn't make a good Moses guy. Because all of us, intend to be good, but we end up not being good. We end up being naughty, bad, weak, frail, evil, hypocritical, shallow, vain. We end up not doing what the law said not to do. So the law says be perfect. We say, well, I did the best I could. And so perfect is just not our style. So how many are here today knowing that you're not probably going to make it under this kind of like, I'll do everything God says? Because I know that's what God wants. So this is going to be called Plan A, but actually it's Plan B. But I'll say it's Plan A. Because the first thing that men heard about was, and you have a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. Everybody knows when they do wrong, they know it. I'm going to try to be a good boy today. I'm going to be a good little girl today. So everybody tries to be good. You know, you keep your word, be decent, be kind, et cetera, et cetera. But then if you mess up, as far as God's concerned, if you mess up, you're finished. It's over with. So you have to be absolutely, totally, 100% perfect from the day you're born, no, even when you're conceived, even before you're born. You can't mess up at any point. You've got to the day you die, be perfect. How many know this is not the way to go? And yet the world today still strives to be good. It still strives to be moral. It's still not just pragmatic about it, like, well, I'll do the best I can. No, it doesn't say do the best you can. It says be perfect. So here God wants us to be absolutely perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's kind of a high standard. If he said, be holy as Pastor Jim is holy, that would be a low standard. But he says, be holy as, exactly as, I am holy. So it's like perfect. It's like too high, too much. I'm just not up to that. So I just can't chin that bar. I can do 100 chin-ups, but I can't do, you know, 150. I just can't make it. So the law is so high that the only person that can make it is God's Son. And he did do that. So it's not undoable. It's doable. But it's just that our flesh just doesn't want to, hasn't ever done it, pretends, lies about it, and so on. But none of us are perfect. Amen? None of us. So religion, however, doesn't give up on this idea. Religion, you can go to a lot of churches in town, and they'll promote the idea that you ought to be better. You know, and even sometimes they'll make it real vigorous if they're Baptists or, you know, if they're really serious. You know, just, come on, you can do it. Pentecostals, you know, they're kind of high on that. Let's all go for Jesus. Give me a J, you know, and they kind of, you know, if you go to a Pentecostal church, they'll put a lot of pressure on you to not just be a phony Christian sitting there in the pew, but to be a real, true, honest to goodness, faithful Christian. Amen? Now, we don't have any of those people, so I'm just talking, you know, theoretically. But the truth is that most people still believe that we can obligate God by what we do. For example, if I believe hard enough, I can get healed. I mean, God will owe it to me. If I believe, then he has to heal me. Now, the problem with that is it's not a biblical idea. You cannot put God ever, ever, ever in obligation unless you're perfect. Now, if you were perfect, the only problem with that is even Jesus, who was perfect, didn't obligate his Father. He did it voluntarily. So even that ruins the whole idea that if I do really good, God has to give me a reward. He has to pay me off. I've earned the wage. He has to give it to me. The problem is that none of us have been perfect. We are not capable. Our brains won't reach that high. Our brawn, our beauty, you know, whatever it is we have going for us, isn't sufficient to pull it off. Now, unfortunately, like God, people actually hold you to a higher standard than you yourselves perform. I mean, if you would get married, for example, just for grins, if you would get married, you would find that the other person, no matter how shallow they might be or even flawed, they might expect you to actually keep your side of the bargain. And this is a problem. This is a problem because we are not promise keepers. We're not promise keepers. I mean, no, there's a bunch of Christians who are promise keepers. Well, I'm not one of those. I never joined that group. I remember once I went to the big meeting they had here with thousands and thousands of men, particularly, because I think it was a man thing, wasn't it? Yeah. It's kind of like men should keep their word. Well, it was cool. I think if we went... Huh?
Problem is there are men involved.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think you could keep a promise? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
You could keep a promise?
Yes.
You could?
Huh? Depends
on
which one.
Oh, glory. Yeah, you know, if it's like shallow and superficial, you know, like I'll go to church once a week or something, you know, we could maybe externally do that, but not if it's from the heart, not if it's genuine, not if it's what God requires, who said, be holy as I'm holy. So we're able to be legalistic. Yes, of course, there are always some heroes among us that will, you know, not miss Sunday school ever. By the way, I never miss church. You know, so if that were the goal, I'd get an A. But unfortunately, it's more heartfelt. It's not whether you miss or not, but when you come, are you worth anything? You know, are you genuine? Are you true? And when you get married, do you love that other person even to your own detriment? In other words, you love them without condition, no matter what it costs. Well, the problem is, that's what people can't put up with. You know, I just hate it that Peggy doesn't worship me. I just hate it. I mean, you know, I just can't imagine why she would ever not submit to me. I mean, apart from the fact that I'm not worth submitting to. I mean, apart from that, I just can't imagine why she wouldn't always be happy all the time. Right? Do y'all understand that? So marriage is kind of like a game that people play, pretending like I'm going to hold you to a high standard, and of course I have one too, but I'll excuse myself because I always have an explanation why I didn't do what I was supposed to do. But you, I don't give an explanation for why you didn't do what you're supposed to do because you were supposed to do it. And so therefore I'm ticked off and mad. Now, we have all of these reasons, but the truth is nobody can do plan A, which I actually said is plan B. Because in the heart of God, in God's heart, in his heart of hearts, now put a heart up here for God. You know that God's not a person with a heart. But he can use this language. In his heart, God always intended this direction. In other words, after you have blown it on plan A, here will be plan A. After you've blown it on plan A, then you will go to plan B, which always was plan A. Now, that's the way I raised my children. I always raised them to believe, and when they were little, they didn't know any better, that I expected them to be good. But I always planned on the fact that they wouldn't. I always gave them laws and rules that they would actually break. So that they would have to come and ask for mercy. I don't know if you're understanding. I deliberately raised them under the law so that they'd break it. I made it so that they couldn't do it. You mad at me for doing that? Do you understand why I did it? I did it because my heart was never, you know, if you do good, I'll blah, blah, blah. I said that, but I didn't mean it. My heart was never that my kids would be perfect. My heart was always that they would blow it and that I'd have to hold them in my lap and forgive them and bless them anyway. You know, I wasn't going to kick them out because they didn't do right. I always had in mind this would be plan A, that my children would sin and mess up and that I would forgive them anyway. The same in marriage. You know, I don't want Peggy to be good. Fortunately, she's not, so it's okay. I don't want her to do what I want her to do. I don't want her to do what I want her to do. Are you hearing me? I tell her what I want, but she doesn't do it. And even if she did it, it'd be outward. It wouldn't be inward. And even if it were inward, it wouldn't be for long. Because sooner or later, I would sin, and then she'd get mad at me, and she'd stop doing whatever it was she was supposed to do. Do y'all understand all that? So I married her flawed. I deliberately married a flawed person. Well, one of the problems was there was no choice. You know, there's no one out there that isn't flawed. Everybody has flaws. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Everybody has flaws. And you yourself are flawed. So because of that, God, I don't want to put it wrong. He seriously meant this, but not for you. He meant you to keep the law, but he didn't mean for you to keep the law yourself. In other words, he knew you'd blow it, and after you'd blow it, you'd have to go to plan B, which was actually always plan A. Does this make sense to you? Are you understanding? Why would God? You think maybe he's pretending. No, he's serious about the law. I'm serious about the law. I wanted my kids to be good, but I knew they wouldn't be. So my love for them, my mercy for them, the fact that they were mine. Now, I might not be as generous with other people's kids, but with my own, you know, they're mine. So I wanted them to win. I remember once we had an Easter egg hunt at the church, and Peggy, our oldest daughter, who was only two or three or something, just little, they were hiding all the eggs, only the parents knew where they were, like Peggy. And her little girl is running around looking for the eggs, and the one who got the most eggs would get a prize. And Mom wanted her daughter to win. So she's cheating, like going like this. You know, she's cheating, pointing where to find the most eggs. And of course, Kara is not thinking cheating, she's just watching Mom. You know, and so that's not cheating, because Mom's helping out, that's Mom. And so she won, it's amazingly, because, you know, Peg knew where they were all hidden. And maybe there was one that was golden or something or other, I forget how the thing was rigged up. But Peg was cheating, and I watched this. You know, Peg, that is cheating. You are making our little girl win, which I wasn't completely opposed to. it's like, that's cool. But it was really unfair for everybody else, but I didn't say anything. So you see, God has it rigged. He set the game up so only one wins. Only one gets the prize. But he set it up so that you'd be the one. I'm going to say that again because you have to think about that for a second. Only one can win, but he set it up so you'd be the one. Now, the reason is that he set it up that plan A was actually a good plan, but only Jesus did plan A. He was holy as God was holy because he was the Son. He says, I always please him. I always do what he wants. I've never taken care of myself. I've always done exactly what my Father wants. I please my Father. That's amazing. I didn't do that. You and I have never done that. We have never, ever done everything in our life just to please God. In fact, you could almost say the opposite. We have nearly always, maybe always, done that which pleases ourselves. Now, I know a few times we've done something that was kind of hard and rugged and sacrificial and said, well, I did that just for you. You know, but it's begrudging. We're really not keen about doing for other people, at least not very much. We don't mind doing a little bit. But we actually never forget ourselves. Are you aware of that? Never for a moment. I might forget God. I ain't forgetting myself. You know, we have that tendency, I say it that way to be kind. We actually have a proclivity. We actually, you know, it's so strong. that we care for ourselves and no one else. It is strong. Did you ever notice that? Has anyone ever affronted you or, you know, you're in a room and they don't come and say hello or something? You're affronted. Like, you know, I'm important. Because you're not thinking of them. You're not thinking of everybody in the room. You're not there to be kind to everybody. You're actually there to be a big shot. You're actually there to be important. Like, hello, I'm here. And, you know, we resent it when people ignore us. We resent that. Is, you know, hey, you're a friend of mine. Why didn't you come over and see me? Why'd you go to her first? You know, and so on. We resent that. And Peggy resents that. I know she does when I don't pay, you know, close attention. That's why I tell all these stories about her. That just shows I'm caring. Okay. Now, I'm going to read you the scripture now in Romans 4, all about why God never wanted anyone to live over there, but he always wanted you to live over here. Now, you may think, because he gave the law, he was serious about that. You may think that God can't make a joke. You may think that God, you know, really wanted you to keep a law. Well, in a way, he did, but it's a joke. Because when it's all done, it isn't you who kept the law, but he kept the law for you and then gave it to you as a free gift, because his desire was never that you would keep the law. His desire was that you would take the free gift. There's a difference between a free gift and a law. If I've done what my covenant, my contract says, then I deserve the wage, the reward. If I do all that it's expected of me, I should get a reward. I should get a wage. Now, God never intended for anyone to ever get a wage from him. The wage of sin, that's death. You should die. That's what you deserve if you sin. How many here have sinned? You know, sinning is falling short of the goal, of the law, of the expectation. In your marriage, how many have sinned in your marriage? You fell short. You know, the other person wanted more, expected more. You even promised more. I swear I'll love you to the death, or, you know, some kind of thing like that. You know, I mean it now. I'm serious about this. I'm going to stay with you. I won't have anyone else, you know, and so on. You make all these promises. But it's very difficult after you live with real people to still stay, you know, passionate about that promise. Yeah, I remember, you know, the first time I saw pagan curlers. You know, it was a real problem. Yeah, what are you? From outer space, you know. You look funny. You know, because when we were dating, she never wore curlers. You know, I never saw that side of her. And then when she rolled over in bed, bad breath coming into my face. It's like, whoa, didn't plan on that either. Could you go brush your teeth? Do you all understand? I mean, I didn't expect that. And then when she became belligerent and when she wouldn't worship me the way I desired, I was just like, man, you know, I've gotten into a bad deal here. This girl is not perfect. You know, and it dries up your love. It takes it away. It takes away all the fun of it. So you have to be realistic. Bad breath for bad breath. You be mean, I'll be mean. Tit for tat, you know? And that's what happens in a marriage, and pretty soon it becomes unbearable. Because I told you to turn the light out. Did you turn that light out? No. Did I not say turn, you know, so I did. Pretty soon, you know, you want a divorce. You know, are you going to mow the lawn or not? Yes, I said I would. Well, that was last week, you know, and so on. And you know, you can get on each other's nerves because I expected you to do thus and so. Well, I expected you to do thus and so. Well, I'm not doing that till you do that. Have you ever, y'all know what I'm talking about? So this marriage thing doesn't work out too hot because the other person's not cooperating. I'm doing okay, but the other person's not cooperating. And I have to explain all the things that are, you say are wrong. I'll give an explanation. Do you all know that we're talkers? Well, yeah, but. Well, let me explain that. I mean, that's not what I intended. And so people cannot live under laws. Have you noticed that about people? Dogs, cats, fish in the bowl, they're okay. They can do pretty much what's expected. You know, everything but people. People, I find, do not live well under laws. People like freedom. They like to be free to do whatever they like to do. So I learned that after, you know, 20-some years of marriage, she's probably not going to ever really like me. You know, in other words, I'm not going to behave right, so she'll probably always be judging me. It was just like having a scorecard. D. D minus. C plus. F. You know, and every day I'd get a score, and I never got A's. I just wasn't getting the A's. Has anybody else been in a relationship like that? We just don't get, you know, two A's, three A's, you know, four or five in a row. I couldn't get them. If I took her out, she wanted it to go longer. You know, I mean, no matter what I did, it wasn't enough. Well, now are you totally happy for the next 6 months? I mean, what I just did should, you know, you said you wanted to go out. I took you out. And she was never happy. She wanted more. It was just, it was too much. It's too much. People are too much. Hello. Whereas I'm, you know, a guy, easy to get along with. I didn't expect that much. A few things, but, you know, nothing that much. But she was consuming everything. You know, just sucking it out of me. I don't know why only two or three of you are getting this, but anyway. It's, It's the men laughing. Ah. You guys stick around. We're all right. Now, the law, it doesn't work. God never intended you for to keep the law. I'm sorry. He never intended for you to keep the law. I know what he said, but what he said was not exactly the full story. In other words, this is theos. This is theos. This side of God, his right hand, is what he really wanted all along, but he started with this side. First the natural, then the spiritual. First the natural, then the spiritual. First, what every man knows. Every man knows who has a conscience that you're supposed to be good. Every man knows it. Every man, you know, makes an attempt to be good, to be decent. Little kids from the very beginning, they're taught, you don't touch that. Now you go to bed right now. And little kids are taught how to shape up and how to live within the rules, the laws, right? Not the first thing you do with little kids? You know, you love them for a year or so, and then after a while you start saying no to them. No, you won't do that. And a little spank on the hand, a little whack on the bottom, you know, they learn. You know, and they learn, I hate you, and I hate this world too. I want to just do what I want to do. Every little kid wants to rebel. So you can hardly wait to be a teenager when you just kind of go off and do your thing. Because you're bigger than your parents now, and you're faster. And you lie better. You know, parents can't catch you when you're a teenager. It's harder. Because you're smart enough to figure them out. You figured out they're hypocrites anyway. See, so you kind of go off and do your own thing, and you don't want to get caught. But one thing you'll learn is in the back of every mother's head are two eyes. And they can see what you're doing even when you don't think they're looking at you. Did anybody here ever figure that out? I don't know where they get those two eyes. One time we were driving home, and we had been on vacation, Kirsten, our second oldest, she was alone at home. And we told her, you know, no parties, no whatever. Just keep the house and don't let anyone come over and so on. So that was the rule. This is a simple rule, you know. In other words, leave everything as it is. And as we were driving up, coming down our street, Peggy said, look at that. Look at what? Kirsten. Yeah. She's taking the garbage out. She never takes the garbage out. Something's wrong. What do you mean? What are you talking about? She's taking the garbage out. Those were coming home, so she's cleaning up. Something's wrong, she said. I said, you're crazy. That is foolish. Well, Kirsten is a good, I'm sure she's doing fine. So Peggy got out of the car, went through the garbage, and looked until she found the beer bottle cap. I don't know if the bottle was in there or not, but she found the cap or something. She found some evidence of something. She said, it's just a cap. You know, I mean, it's, nah. So I said, okay, well, don't you apply the law here. Just leave it alone. I want to handle this because I just don't believe that. So I went and said, Kirsten, how's everything going? Great, Dad. Atta girl. Good girl. That's my girl. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, was everything okay? Oh, yeah, it was great. I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you. I just built her up really big. Good girl. You didn't do anything wrong. No. There you have it. See? It's all over. She didn't do anything wrong. Then a few minutes later, I said, hey, by the way, you didn't have anybody over, did you? And no. No. No, just like you said. Now she is lying through her teeth, and Mom knows because she has the bottle cap. You know, she knows she's been lying. You didn't have people over. Well, yeah, actually, I did have this one little group over. Oh, you weren't supposed to, right? Well, yeah, but, you know, they just came in for a few minutes. Oh, so that's not, nah, that's nothing. I mean, you didn't like, did you, anything you want to tell me? And now the guilt was really, you know, I was zeroing in. I said, by the way, Mom went through the garbage out there and found something. Did you want to tell me all about it? And then she fessed. She just confessed. She just opened up. Dad, okay, all right, okay, let me explain. You know, just went through all this kind of stuff. So we are guilty. We know that what we're supposed to do is not what we actually end up doing. Even if we did do the right thing, inside of us was a lot of rebellion. Just don't like being told what to do. Is anybody aware of what I'm talking about? So the reason that God gave the law was not what you think, so you'd keep it, because you didn't. And he's not dumb. God, like Peggy, knows when you're driving down the street what we've done. And knows right where the battle cap is. He knows. And so God knew that the purpose of the law, the reason I'm going to give it, is not so that anyone will keep it. It's so that they'll admit that they didn't. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is not what normally churches are teaching, but this is what the Bible teaches. The law was never given so that you would keep it. Now, I want that to sink in. The law was never given, regardless of what you think, what you've been taught, what you imagine. The law was never given so that you'd keep it. The law was given to expose you. The law was a school teacher. It was just a school teacher to show you what you weren't, not what you ought to be. It was not given so you ought to, like, try harder. Come on, you can make it. You can do it. You can contribute. You're looking silent and sober. Go, amen, I understand. The law was not given for you to keep it. It was given to expose you. Moses exposes. The only purpose of giving this law was not that you'd become like God. You can't become like God. You've never become like God. You're not even beginning to become like God. You are ungodly, nasty, bad, evil, hateful, enemy, period. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, I want to hear another one.
Amen.
I want to make sure you got this down good, because otherwise the good news won't be good news unless you understand the bad news. The bad news is you ain't any good. You always mess up. You don't have any perfect shots. Everything you do is flawed. You're not perfect. Sorry. There's no such thing as perfection downstairs. We're not perfect. Never have been, never will be. Ever, ever, ever. Certainly not until Jesus comes back again. So stop pretending like you're keeping the law. You're a liar. Like Kirsten. She lied. I wanted to catch her. You know why? Not to spank her or whatever. I'm sure I didn't spank her. I wanted to catch her so she'd fess up. And I gave her umpteen chances. Curse, is there anything you want to say before I produce the evidence? You know, I mean, I didn't want to catch her and nail her. I wanted to have her confess and say, I didn't do it. Okay, I did wrong. All right, we did have a big beer blast here and so on and so forth. But I wanted her to come clean with me and have a relationship, not a performance. I don't care about her performance. I don't care how bad she did. I don't care what she did. I forgive her. My daughter. Do y'all understand what I'm just saying? Now, you got to be big to do this. You can't be a legalistic parent who's going to beat the snot out of them if they do wrong. You have to be. That's why if Peggy had handled it, it'd have been hell. I mean, it'd have been hell. she'd have nailed them. You lie. You know, I know Peggy. She'd have been. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's what moms do. And that's okay. I never told Peggy not to do it. I just told her to be quiet. Let me handle this first because I want to save the kids. Now, you see, you are not made. Stop it. Stop judging people. Stop judging other people for not doing their deal. You didn't do yours. You never did yours. You're not a law keeper or a promise keeper. You can't be good. You just can't. You just can't. Now, no matter how hard you try, all right, I'm going to try. Okay, You know, that's like the little girl that says, "Mom, today everyone was bad in class, but I wasn't." It's good, you know. But that's a little liar. You have just produced a little fake, a little legalistic, phony, judgmental liar. Well, they're just talking outwardly. The other kids were talking and I didn't talk. And they're proud of that. They didn't do it because they're good. They did it because they want the reward when they come home. "Mom, I did it." So, you know, just it has the nastiest of motives, no matter how nice it is when they're little and so on. And you can go along with it when they're kids, but the truth is, you got to get out of that. It takes a long time to raise kids to believe that the law has a good purpose to it. And then they have to learn mercy. Because after they're 7 or 8 or 9, they begin to need a lot of mercy. Because they don't come home saying that anymore. Especially when they're about 11 or 12. Kids at 11 or 12, the chemistry starts to change them. You know, they start to notice boys, and the guys start to wear socks that match, and you know, it's just, it's different all of a sudden. Oh, it's funny. Anyway, people then suddenly want to please someone else, and they're not into the parent anymore. 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there, you lose your kids. They're gone. They're now checking out the other group, you know, the gang they're going to grow up with and live with. And they're no longer your kids. You just lost them. And moms keep treating them like they were 10. Till they're about 80. You know, these moms do that. But it's not going to work. You got to let your kids go. Because if you don't let them go, they'll go anyway. They'll either become liars and sick, or they're going to be rebellious, and it's going to hurt you. But either way, you can't control them. People are uncontrollable. This law doesn't work. Now, I'm not teaching psychology. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The reason that the law was given is not so you'd keep it. It was given so you'd confess your sins. It's the only reason. It was just given so you'd run to A or B, whatever one you want to call it. So I'm going to call it B, but it's actually A. The reason he wants you to fail here is so you'll succeed over here. The reason that he wants you to try it out to see if you can do it is so you learn that you can't, so you learn to rely on him and take a free gift. If you can't get the wage, get the free gift. If you can't take the wage, if you can't, you know, meet the condition, then go over here where it's unconditional. You see, Kirsten couldn't not do what she was told not to do. Kirsten, I want you to promise me that you won't have any beer in the house and so on and so forth, and that you'll not have any friends over here to mess the place up and so on. I just want you to promise that. "Yes, sir, I won't, Dad." "You know that, Dad." You know, she's just such a good liar. "You know that, Dad. I wouldn't even think of it." She's the same girl that used to hide, because we had another rule in our house. No candy. No candy. So you could go into her bedroom, and if you pressed down on the bed, you could hear all this plastic wrapping, little candy things, you know, that they were all under the mattress, and you lifted it up, and there they were, you know, hundreds of little chocolate wrappers and whatnot. You know, you could hear it crinkling. So I said, "Kurt, you're not eating candy, are you?" "No." "Okay, that's cool. I just wondered, because I went into your bed there, and I just pressed down, and I heard all this crinkling of, what do you call that stuff, that wrapper? Cellophane. Yeah, I heard all that. "Oh, my God." You know, and then she just, "Okay, all right, I did," you know. But, you know, the purpose of the law is not to beat the snot out of them when they don't do it. It's just to expose them so they'll confess, so you can say, "It's all right, I forgive you, I got a better way." Y'all understand? The whole reason for failing here is to succeed over here. This is where God always wanted you in the first place, asking for mercy, not pretending like I'm better than you are. You ever played that game? "Well, I did what Dad said." You know, and my kids are like that. You know, one would be better than the other. I always tell all my kids, you know, "You're my favorite." And I have 4 kids. So I always say that whenever they call, "Oh, it's my favorite. Yahoo!" And that makes them feel good. Even though it's a lie, it makes them feel good. They like that. You know, "Dad, this is your favorite." "Oh, Kara?" And it'll be Kirsten. "Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. I didn't know who this was." And it's kind of fun, because all kids want to be favorite. Sure. They all want to feel like you like them the most. I mean, you can pretend like they're all equal and they all, you know, whatever. They're not. They all want to be the best. It's a special one. The one that, you know, dad really likes. Mom likes you, but dad likes me and all this stuff. You know how kids are. Hello! You know, and we don't like our brothers and sisters. We I want to be better in one area. Of course, you're better here, but I'm better there. You know, we got all these deals to make ourselves important. Does it work? No. But in our own mind, in our own imagination, we invent all of that. We create how great we are. How great I am. There's a song, but it's supposed to be about God, but we can apply it to ourselves. So God wants us to go to number two, which is actually number one. So let's read it. What then shall we say that Abraham, who was the father pertaining to the flesh, in other words, in a human sense, flesh and blood, what has he found? What did he discover? And if Abraham were justified by works, if Abraham were justified by works, that's plan A, which I actually says plan B. So if Abraham's justified by works, listen then, what does it say? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, if you did this, you could brag, you could boast. You could lift up your neck. The word in the Greek means to lift one's neck up. In other words, to be proud. You know, to show that I did it. I did everything he said. If Abraham were justified, were made holy, were made righteous by his works, holy by good works, in hope of a reward. If that were true, then truly God would owe him. He would be obligated to him. He'd have to pay him his wage. Hey, you did good. Here's a reward. I told you, you do that with little kids. With little kids, you raise them this way. But it's not a serious deal. Because when they become older, they know their sin. And they realize they're totally selfish. Though you taught them their whole lives to behave themselves and mind their P's and Q's, whatever those are. Does anyone know what those are? P's. I don't know if those are the things you eat. Q's? I have no idea what Q's are. What are they? Pints and quarts. Mind your pints and quarts. Now that helped. Huh? Yeah. So what does it mean, mind them? Stick to it, do your job. Ah, very interesting. Thank God I came to church today. It's good. I appreciate that. That's good. So now we know what P's and Q's are, pints and quarts. All right. Anyway, nobody is able to do this. You're not able to do it. Could I hear a strong amen?
Amen.
You're not Jesus. I'll tell you, the only thing is, what he really is saying here is be like Jesus. Be exactly like God. Be perfect. No contest. I mean, there's just no contest. Forget it. If Abraham were justified by his works, he has a reason to glory, to boast, to lift up his neck, but not before God. You see, if somebody behaves themselves among men, you have to give them credit. You know, we give a plaque out or have a dinner in your honor, give you a gold watch or something. Sometimes they have a pastoral appreciation Sunday. They haven't had one of those for a while. But, you know, so that you honor the pastor. But, you know, it's completely phony because even though you can glory among men, the truth is I'm a scoundrel and I really don't deserve any parties. And it's really embarrassing. I mean, I like it when people do it, but I know it's a complete lie. Is, you know, even if I drop dead, I imagine a few people would come to the thing. But within an hour or two, they'd be eating food at the table and whatnot and forget me. Pastor Jim, I'll never forget him. You know, and then a few minutes later, could you pass the butter? You know, and people have forgotten already. Have you ever gone to a funeral and everybody's crying and so on, and everybody's playing and laughing and meeting the relatives and whatnot, and you forget all about that person. And if they hadn't left a few bucks behind to build a memorial, no one would remember who they are. Hello? It's the vanity of man. You know, so it's good to leave a little bit behind. Let's put up a plaque, you know. Give everyone one of my pictures, you know. You know, so we want to have a little immortality. And, you know, I notice among the grandkids, they don't know any better, but grandkids think I'm great. It's amazing. You know, they don't have Peggy's view at all. You know, I don't know how realistic it is, but they like me. You know, and I just love being around the grandkids. Grandpa Jim, you know, and it's really exciting to them. It's thrilling for them to see me. When I walk into the house, Peg, it's me. Yeah. I mean, me, Jim. You know, she's not excited, you know, like they are. Grandpa Jim. You know, I don't know. I noticed the contrast. Hello. Here I am. What did you say, Linda? That's a terrible thing to say. They like me, Linda. I don't care what you say. So, you know, to a grandkid, you're great. Because, like she says, they don't know you. And all they've seen a picture, and the parent has pointed it out. And they're just, you're the guy in the picture. You know, that's about it. And grandparents tend to spoil the grandkids. They tend to bless them. So now, Abraham, if he were justified by works, he'd have a reward, but not before God. God will never pay Abraham a reward for doing good works. You might give Abraham a reward, not God. Did you hear what I just said? You're not going to get from God. Anyone is going to go to heaven, which is the reward. Get the kingdom because you earned it. You can't earn your way in to God's grace. He will not call you right. The only way you can do it is sin. The only way you can get on God's good side is sin.
Amen.
You've got to sin. You cannot get in this way by not sinning. This way is, after I sin, I ask forgiveness. He gives it to me, which I don't deserve, and gives me a free gift. That's the only thing that pleases God. Taking that free gift when you don't deserve it is the only thing that ever pleases the Father. Did anybody get a hold of that? This is hard to get. I know it's hard to get. It's hard to get. That's why we're preaching it. That's why it's written down in the book. It's because it doesn't make sense. Your brains cannot get a hold of this. So if your brains are trying to figure it, you can't. God absolutely does not want you to be good. He knows. You know, he said you should be good, but he knows you won't. So since he knows everything ahead of time, he's waiting for you to sin so he can forgive you. So then he can give you for a free gift without any deserving, no reward, no wage paid. It's going to give you what you don't deserve. Love means giving what the other person doesn't deserve. Did you hear what I just said? This is very powerful. I don't love Peggy because she's worthwhile. Isn't that powerful? I do not love her because she's worth loving. She's not lovable. I am, but she's not. I don't love her because she's loved. I love her because the love of God, not mine, is in me to love her, period. And God loves her not because she deserves it, but because she doesn't deserve it. That's love. Human love doesn't understand what I just said. Unconditional love, no condition to it. The reason we love is because he first loved us. Doesn't make any sense. That's plan B, which actually is plan A. He never intended for you to do this. He always gave you that first, but this was always his intention. This is secondary. The giving of the law was secondary. You be good, but he knew you wouldn't. His primary purpose was always to give you a free gift. You understand? That's why God, when we come before him, the only reason we praise him, worship him, is because we know we don't deserve it. The only thing you can ever give to God is not a good work. The only thing you can ever give to God is, thank you, Lord. I don't even know why I'm here. I don't deserve to be here, but I thank God I'm here. That is what he wants. That's all he wants. Now, you don't get a reward for that. He gave you the reward before. You don't praise him so you get something. You praise him because you already got everything. I'm going to say that again. You don't praise him to get something. Like, I'll praise you, then will you heal me? No, you're not paying God off. You don't praise him to get. You praise him because you've already got everything. This is hard. This is hard to get, but it's simple. If you ever get a hold of this, you'll be free. In other words, stop being a liar. This is liars. Over here is all liars. Anybody who's over here is a liar. This over here is the truth, and the truth will set you free. Is you're no good, never will be good, never have been good, never will be good, never, 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 ever, not even in eternity. You will never be good. Only God is good. That's what the Bible says. Only God is good. All he wants to do is give you a free gift. And the amazing thing is, how many people still persist in saying, no, I swear I'm going to be good. It's like, stop swearing. You're not going to be good. You are a nasty, shallow, vain, hypocritical liar. Say it. That's me.
That's me.
Yeah. I know that. Because you're just like me. You're exactly like me. It's pitiful, but you're just like me. It's sad. But here, I am over here laughing and smiling. Why? Because I don't deserve anything. Now, again, if churches taught this, I shouldn't. I shouldn't teach this. If churches taught this, they'd be smaller. This will make a big church right here. You teach this, you get a big church. By God! You know, and so on. And you yell and scream and you pretend like, you know, people are going to be holy and so on. And they like that. They like to hear that. Let's have no more sinning. It's just, you know, and people love that. They go to church to hear that. I knew there was a right and wrong. Oh, you husband and children, listen to this. All you people, hear up. It's for you. It's just for you. That was only given so you'd expose yourself and say, yeah, I can't do it. I'm just not up to it. For what saith the Scripture? This, what's the Word of God say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him, logizomai. It was reckoned to him. Now, when God imputes or counts, he imputes or counts or reckons, you know, thinks out in his mind. This is logizomai. Logizomai. It means, it's got the word logic in it, thinking. It means God in his mind knows you're bad, but he has reckoned your account and you came up short. And he decided to give the accounting in such a way that it be made whole by his own mercy. Now, does he have a right to do it? You didn't keep the law, and so there you have the wages of sin and death. That's the law of sin and death. You sin, you die. You sin one time, you're dead. Finished. Can't be with God. He has no sin, you had some sin, you're finished. So if you fall short over here, you got to run over here and ask God to give you a different kind of accounting. Is anybody here an accountant? You know, you check over the books and they come up short. They come up wrong. They don't come to zero. They don't add up. This side doesn't balance off with that side. So God, in his mercy, having nothing to do with the letter of the law that killeth, because you're deficient in that account, looks at it from another point of view and says, I'm going to reason in my mind. I'm going to value something that wasn't put in this account. I'm going to take into account your faith. And it says Abraham then was not accounted holy because he kept the law and he deserved something. He was accounted holy because he didn't keep the law and he took God's mercy and because he believed in the promise of God that said, I'll forgive you because I want to, not because I have to. God doesn't have to love you. He wants to. I don't have to love Peggy. I don't have to love you. I don't have to love anything. I want to. I want to, and I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And I know you're not worthy. I know you're nasty. And I know you'll stab me in the back. I know, you know, in other words, like in a marriage, you say, well, you know, I'd forgive you, but I think you'll do it again. Yeah. I swear I won't do that anymore. How many know guys lie like that? I swear, all right, that's it. I'm not going to do that again. But you have to love people who, regardless of what they say, they're going to mess up. I told Peggy, I don't care what you weigh or you don't cook for me or you swear at me or whatever. I don't care. I love you, period. Do you see how much freedom there is in that? I'm not going to love her because she deserves to be loved. And that helps. That's actually a good thing. Not I love you because you're pretty or I love you because you're helpful or I love you because you're nice. Or no, I don't love her for any of those reasons. She's not worthy of love. I've learned that from God. Not worthy of love. Just living with her, I know that. But I'm going to love her anyway. Why? Because God, the love of God, who loved me first. So I'm going to love her that way. And she likes that. She doesn't like having to be nice. She likes to hit every once in a while and swear and kick and bite. She does. She enjoys that. Peg, is that vengeance you're, you know, exhibiting toward me? Me, a pastor. Me, Pastor Jim. A holy man. Just remember that. But she doesn't care. You know, Peggy is totally oblivious to those scriptures. I'm trying to bring those out to her, see? Hey, remember, I'm the head. It means nothing to her. When she's in a rage or, you know, angry or whatever, she gets in a huff. I can tell her when she's huffy. Does anybody here have a huffy? You know, it's like, don't worry about it. Forgive her. Amen? Forgive her. Are you following?
Yes.
Don't love people because they deserve it. Love them because they don't deserve it. Exactly why you love them is because they don't deserve it. That's God. There's God. Now you want to understand God, plan A, which you thought was plan B, is actually plan A. He always intended for you. And if you ever make this, you'll know it's God. I mean, if you ever become decent, you'll know that's God. If you ever have faith in God, you'll know that's a miracle. It's not something you could produce. It's not a human capacity. Humans can only do this, fail. The highest you can get is guilt. The highest you can get is go to hell. That's the highest a man can produce right here. The most you can get. If you do this, I'll reward you. If you don't, you go to hell. That's as high as you can get, hell. Nobody's ever done the good, so they all go to hell. But God's view was, no, I'm going to let Jesus do the right thing, then give you the free gift and say, I didn't do it for myself, I did it for you. If you believe that, and there's no way you could believe that unless you already failed at this one. You have to fail here. Remember Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for sinners who repent, who say, sorry, I did it. I did everything you said not to do, and I didn't do anything you said to do. That's all he wants. Doesn't want you to be good. I don't want my kids to be good. I don't want my wife to be good, and I don't want this church to be good.
Your
marker's on. Oh. Oh, man, I hope I didn't get marked up.
I think just a little spot.
I hate marks.
Spots.
Now, fortunately in this church, we don't have a lot of good people. I thank God for that. Instead of to the saints in Dallas. No. Here's the situation. The reason is that you're a saint is because of plan B.
That's it.
That's all. You're not a saint, a plan A saint. You're a plan B saint. So you are saints. But the reason you're holy, righteous, correct with God is because you admitted, I'm no good. Only God is good. He forgave me. I took the gift. Hallelujah. That's it. Does anybody understand this? Abraham was not reckoned. In other words, he really wasn't any good under A. But he was reckoned good under B because of his faith. See this little word here? Holy not by works, but by faith in God's works, God's grace. So the only way he was reckoned holy was Jesus did the good work for him. And because Jesus did the good work for him, your righteousness is imputed to you. In the Greek language, there is a word, dikaiosune, so I wrote down, dikaios. It means always a righteousness that you didn't do, but you borrowed it because God reckoned it. He accounted it. He did his accounting, and when he did it, he noticed you came up short, so he offered to fill in that blank. He said, Jesus, you go down and pay for that debt. You die for Jim. You die for Lou. You die. When he did that, he filled my account up, and if I believed him, it was accounted to me. Now, that's good. I want you to know you were a dollar short. I put the dollar in. I, the accountant, I don't know if any accountants do this. I don't think they do. I, the accountant, saw that you were a few bucks short and your slush fund was empty. And I filled it in. I gave it to you. So I legally did that. I have a right to do it. The guy who's adding up the counts, which is God, can do that anytime he wants to. But the thing is, you'd have to believe. You'd have to believe. Now, that's not, believing is not like me doing something good. It's just like, I know I'm bad. People that believe are bad. To be a faith person means you're a bad person. You didn't do plan A. You had to take plan B, remedial. Did you do your trigonometry? No. Then you have to go to remedial you know, trig. And when you go to the remedial class, there's some tutor is helping you to do what you should have done on your own, but you didn't get it at some point or whatever. So we're all remedial, retarded, backward, missing. You know, not we failed. I don't know. To me, this is good news. Because I'm a natural failure. I mean, I'm a natural arrogant person who's going to accomplish this and do that and so on, and then I fail. As far as God's deal is concerned, as far as my deal is concerned, I did fine. But God measures a little differently than I do. In my own eyes, I'm great. Until I look closely. But in my own eyes, I mean, I just erase all that stuff. You know, I forget all my flaws. I just can't imagine why Peggy just doesn't love me just to be married to me ought to be great. You know, I mean, just to me, I mean, I don't commit adultery. I'm not a boozer. I mean, there's so many good qualities I have. To me, she just ought to be radiant about that. She's not. She will pick out some little flaw, you know, just something small like not loving her or something like that. She'll focus on that. I can't imagine. You know, I would discount that. Well, you know, but she doesn't, you know. And so for that reason, she doesn't want to give me all her love. So she withholds. I don't think that's right. You think that's right? That's not right. So I like Peggy. I like Peggy because she's a legalist. She's going to hold me to the law. And I like that. What a great wife to have, a law-keeping wife. And, you know, I'll say to her, well, Peg, you sin too. What? Well, I don't know. I can't think right now, but I'm too busy sinning, you know, but I'll think about it. I know I've got you on something. But, you know, she's better at hiding. I think, is that a woman thing? That they're more self-righteous? Do you think it is? Definitely? That's good. I should have married you. It would have been the same? Oh, rats. You know. Now, aren't Oriental women are different. They bring you the slippers and all this, yes, Saib, and so isn't that right? I mean, I don't know. Do we have any Oriental women here? I should have married one. No. You see, God doesn't want you to be good. He doesn't want you to be deserving. He wants Peggy to love me because I don't deserve it. He wants me to love Peggy because she doesn't deserve it. Isn't that neat, Lou? It's powerful because you don't have to law. You don't have to keep a law on people, a record. Because under the record, nobody's going to make it. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him. It was reckoned to him, logizomai, for righteousness. In other words, God in his mind thought it over and said, you know what? The account doesn't show. Jim definitely failed here, but what it doesn't show is nothing was given for his faith. You see, when he failed, he actually believed in me. I'm going to count that as his righteousness. And so God just ignores the fact that you broke the law. You were ungodly. He just ignores that and says, I'm going to call him godly just because he believed in my son. And I just like that. That pleases me. That's how to please God, is you can sin and then just admit it. Remember Adam when he caught him in the garden? Remember Adam caught him eating the apple? And he said to him, Adam, where are you? You know, and Adam was hiding. Remember he was naked and hiding? Who told you were naked? You know, who told you your account was short? You weren't supposed to be noticing your nakedness. Have you lost your innocence? But Adam was hiding behind the tree. God cannot see us. Right? How many know God has tree-looking around eyes? He can see under the tree, over the tree, through the tree. You know, but Adam was stupid. It's like the little kid, and you walk into the room, and their eyes light up like that. You know, and you go, does anybody want to say anything here? Because you know, the room was closed, and everything was quiet, and you open it up. I wonder what's going on. And then you see they're playing some game they shouldn't be playing. But you know, they just, and then little kids will just start confessing. I didn't do anything, Mom. It was her. Little kids are great. That's what Adam did. It wasn't me. It was the woman thou gavest me. You gave her to me. I wouldn't have done anything wrong. It's her. How many know the woman is the cause? How many guy? Come on. That's a guy. exactly. You know, I was a decent kind of guy. Most guys would admit that. If guys talk in the locker room, well, yeah, it's not like okay to me. It's kind of, you know, but to a woman, she totally judges differently. She's looking for something a little higher, not an unreliable. Hello? You say, why are we fighting one another? I got to go now. Why are we fighting one another? Peggy's putting the law on me. I got to quit. Here's what it says. Now to him that worketh is the reward. If you do the work under A, then you get a reward. But not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, God owes. If you do what God tells you to do, you get a reward. You get a wage. He has to pay you. He owes you. It's a debt. But to him that worketh not, if you don't do the work, if you don't qualify, if you sin, if you breach, if you're not a good trustee, you enrich yourself unjustly, if you take advantage of the other person, sounds like us, if you don't love that other person unconditionally, if that's you, the ungodly, the one that worketh not, but to him that worketh not, doesn't do plan A, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, asebia in the Greek. What it means is somebody who's not pious, somebody who doesn't do his duty to God, someone who actually hates God, is an enemy. He's an enemy of God. That's the one God will save. He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for his friends. He came for people that hated him. He made us. Then he did everything for us, and we hated him. We just said, is this it? Is there any more? You know, and God said, well, all I'm asking is some worship. No. As he said, you know, I just want you to love me. Come on, stop being pious. Isn't this us? We don't love God. We don't worship God. We don't care about God. We care about ourselves. We're ungrateful. Say it, I'm ungrateful. We are. We're cold. We're indifferent. God comes on. Hi, everybody. It's worship time. Wake up. Yeah. Where's the toothpaste? You know, I mean, I don't want to talk to God right now. I want to, you know, go eat breakfast and get freshened up and so on. Maybe I'll get to God later. Maybe. We're not eager to see God in the morning when we wake up, right? Jump out of bed. Hallelujah! Glory! You know, Peggy hates it when I do that. Peg, up! This is the day the Lord hath made. Your Lord is speaking. You know, she's not into that at all. Shut up. You know, go, get out. I don't know why. I have a naughty side to me. Does anybody else have one of those? It's just a nasty, naughty, devious side to me. But God likes me. So that kind of balances the whole thing off. I like the way he reckons. Not to him who worketh. To someone who doesn't work, who doesn't do what God wanted. Someone who fails. Someone who's unrighteous, ungodly. That's the one God justifies. God will only justify the ungodly. He will never justify this group. You can never get his justification here. Left hand? No. He'll only justify the ungodly. You've got to be ungodly. Please, I'm begging you, asking you, be ungodly. I have a feeling over here we're getting a lot of, yes, and over here there's a few. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It says he only justifies. This is who God is. He is only the justifier of the ungodly. To him it worketh not. There is no wage. It's just a free gift. Amen? You've got to be ungodly. I feel quite a few of you have qualified. Amen. You have qualified. Could I see a show of hands of those that are ungodly? Now, you go back and read this. I don't know that I've done a good job of bringing this out. But I want you to see how clear it is that this has always been God's will from the beginning of the world. He never intended you to do this. He only did this to expose you so you'd run over here. He just did this so you'd run over here and say, God, I don't have a chance. You see, you'll never come to faith unless you realize you've failed the law. You're not going to need mercy unless you've screwed up, unless you've messed up, unless you didn't do what he said. So you have to realize you're not a good person. You have to admit humbly, Lord, I'm no good. And I tell you, that's not what we want to say normally. I don't want to say it's my fault. I want to say it's yours. I always want to say, well, you know, it's God, it's the woman thou gavest me, or, you know, it's other people, they didn't keep their side of the bargain, or whatever. Well, I did three things, you only did two. I want to make myself better. Anybody else like that? That's the one God loves, is the one that's nasty. I don't love Peggy because she's nice. I love her because she's nasty. I like her being nasty. I like that she's nasty. That does not bother me, because we're equal. She's just as nasty as I am. She is. Peggy, where are you? Just tell them you're as nasty as I am.
I'm at least as nasty as
I am. Yee-hoo! See, and there's a good wife. Who can find, you know? She is. She's wretched. She's wicked. I'm telling you. She looks sweet. She looks nice. She's faking it, people. She's faking it. She's nasty at home. Yeah. I owe her? Why do I owe? How much do I owe her? Yeah, right. Yeah, thanks, Peg. That'll save the salary right there. All right. God is good. Hope you're blessed today. I hope you heard God in the humorous things that I said, but there was a point to all the humor. Is get down how strong God is about justifying only those that don't deserve it. Only those, so that it's completely free. And I'll tell you, that's a blessing. All right, we're going to have communion now. Father God, we thank you for the word today. And we thank you, Lord God, that it is your will that we not perish. You never desired that anybody, you never wanted anybody to perish. It's always your will that everyone come into the family. Now, not everyone's coming, but that's your will. And it's because the churches often don't teach the truth to the people. They let them think that they have to be good. But I thank you, Lord God, that we don't have truth for good people. We have truth for people that weren't good. Because only God, you alone, are good. And you have reckoned it. You have imputed it. You have declared it. You have spoken it. And no one knows why. No one understands the mystery that we were not worthy, but you who were worthy became, you did it all. You did it all for us. And I thank you, Lord God, for your love. I thank you for your love. I praise you for your love. And I thank you for this people, Lord God, who we're getting it. It's taking a while, but we're getting it. And we're letting other people go free. The more we learn that we're free from your law, we're letting other people free from our law. In Jesus' holy name. But most of all, letting ourselves go free. We're not under the scrutiny of some law. We don't have to live up to some standard. You have done it for us, and you don't want us to earn it. You want us just to take it. Free gift. We forgive ourselves, Lord God, for all the things we've said, thought, and done. For all the things we've done to other people. For all the weight we've put on other, the pressure we've put on other people. Lord God, forgive us for being lords over them. Forgive us for being lawgivers. Let us be as merciful as you are. Let us be merciful as you have been merciful to us. And everyone said,